Welcome to The Educated Investor, brought to you by the Householder Group Estate and Retirement Planning. At Cishon Financial, Regional Vice President David Cishon takes a proactive approach to helping you develop a strategy to address your financial goals and objectives using the most efficient methods available. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley and David Cishon.
Welcome to The Educated Investor. My name is Scott Whatley. We are glad to have you with us. A little stormy weather out there for us all, but as they always say, we need the moisture. But our show is brought to you each week by Cishon Financial and Cishon Financial Services. They're with the Householder Group. They are estate and retirement specialists, and it is always good to have Regional Vice President David Cishon with us. David, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm fine. Thank you so much, Scott. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I turned over an extra year today, but man.
Oh, wow. Congrats.
But boy, I don't know. Was there ever a certain number that just made you think, wow, I'm getting old?
No, not really.
Okay.
But I'll tell you one thing. It was kind of interesting because I was talking to some of our clients the other day. And I said to them, I said, do you remember Y2K?
Yeah.
when the computers were all going to crash, the world was coming to an end because it was going to be 2000?
Right.
I said, that's 21 years ago.
I know.
Where did the time go?
No, I know.
That makes me concerned.
It sure does. No, because sometimes I'll talk to people and they go, oh, I've had my business since 98. And I'm thinking, big deal. And then you add up the numbers, and it's like, wow, you know? So time is a weird thing and for sure passes us by very, very quickly, I'm telling you.
It does. It does. Unbelievable.
Well, that's why you need David Cishon. And because I'm telling you, before you know it, the years will pass, and you are at that retirement age, and hopefully you've done some great planning, and we're going to talk about that retirement income subject today. And David, I guess there's a lot of concerns out there, you know, with folks. I mean, you know, all the government things going on and unsure about a lot of things. So what are you hearing from some of your clients with just some of their concerns?
Well, you know, we hear it quite a bit. And this income picture is a big area of concern for a lot of folks. You know, when you go from getting a paycheck every week or every month to no paycheck, mm-hmm. it kind of gets your attention. And you know, as time develops towards that retirement or you're getting laid off or the company is dissolving, you're getting closer to that, but you're getting that paycheck. And it's hard to think of the effect it has emotionally on people. That paycheck is going to stop. And so income is a real big concern, you know, and I always tell people, I don't really care how much you make. I care how much you keep.
Right.
And that's the same thing on the income side of the ledger. Clients are concerned. I think it was this pandemic that really forced a lot of folks to sit back and say, holy cow, what do I do now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how long is the government going to keep paying me a check? Or if I don't, do I have to activate Social Security sooner than I really want? And the concern really is income, because in retirement, the only way you have the ability to relax and not feel pressure is to have enough income coming in that takes care of your monthly expenses. And so this is a big, big area of great concern. And we've just seen more and more people, even our clients, who typically are in pretty good shape on the income side of things, now and for the future, they come in and they'll say, geez, let's review this again. Are you sure we're okay here? Are you sure we have this in place or that in place?
Right.
And new people that come in for a second opinion or an update or from our classes or our seminars, that is almost the first question all the time. I've got to make sure that I got enough income. Right. I'll tell you one thing. If you don't have enough time to develop enough income, you ain't going to have it. Your retirement is really not going to be great.
Sure. And, you know, I was just trying to think of some of the things today that, you know, there's only so many things that are in your control, and probably there's more things out of your control with all this when you look at just, you know, inflation or, you know, our health costs today of you know, health insurance, whatever, you know, the stock market. I was talking to some friends the other day. They're not only taking care of one of the spouse's parents, but they've also had one of their kids move back in with them. So they're also taking care of parents and their kids again, which they didn't plan on. And boy, before you know it, you know, it can become a big financial hit.
Well, it is a huge financial hit. This is why retirees have one of the biggest amounts of debt of any individuals, because they're assuming a lot of debt from their kids and have to provide income or access to reserves for their parents. That used to be a miscellaneous expense when I would do an analysis, but it's no longer miscellaneous. There is a tremendous sandwich between a person's children and their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming a big deal because so many young people are coming back home and are forcing, in essence, their parents to help them. And it's going to eat away from the parents' retirement income and assets. You know, when we look at this income of vehicles that people have, we look at it from a couple of different perspectives. One is that income that you need to have to cover some portion or all of your monthly expenses has to be, as I call it, in the foundation of your house. In other words, it has to be in that foundation so that no matter what happens above ground,
mm-hmm.
no matter what happens in the economy, no matter what kind of pandemic we have, X number of dollars, that check, that Social Security check, that pension check that shows up on the 15th of every month, continues. And if you don't have enough guaranteed income coming in, you're not going to be comfortable. You're always going to be on the alert, wondering when's the hammer going to fall.
Sure.
And so when we look at income, we're looking at both paychecks and we're looking at playchecks. Paychecks and playchecks are critical. And those things look like, for example, Social Security. Now, there are some people out there that think that Social Security is going to disappear. It's never going to disappear. They might change the rules and regulations a little bit for younger people. But that's a paycheck that comes in every month to those people that have activated Social Security. And so they know, boy, I'm going to get that $1,000 or $1,500 or $3,000, whatever it might be. And yes, I'll have a little cost of living increase, perhaps, maybe 1% if they're lucky, you know, but they know that's coming in. If they have a pension, okay, and it started and it's coming in, well, you know, for the most part, people can count on that because that's guaranteed. They've taken a chunk of money, their employer, and went out and bought an income stream that can never, ever, ever, ever go away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, what else do people need? It all depends on their expenses and what their needs are. I get a kick out of these advertisements in the newspaper and on television that really tell people, oh, man, we're in your corner. You know, don't buy anything in the world. Don't use any kind of tools except our stocks and bonds.
Right.
Well, let me tell you something. Those things don't guarantee anything. And again, nothing wrong with stocks and bonds. It's just the idea when we talk income, we've got to have two types, paychecks and playchecks. And there's a chunk of this money in the foundation of your financial house that needs to be guaranteed. And then there's chunks of money in the financial house that should be protected to some degree, all right, so that the income can't go away ever again. And we have to have growth because you mentioned it. We have inflation. Do you think the government spending $2 trillion, $4 trillion, maybe $6 trillion won't have an effect on the inflationary factor that we're going to face in the coming years?
Sure.
Someone's got to pay for it.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Absolutely.
And that tax reform is over in 2025 unless something changes. And of course, now they're talking about increasing taxes for, you know, certain people that make a lot more money, say, than the average. But point being is that we've got to have a certain chunk of money that's guaranteed so we don't have the worry of problems. And then we can put our other assets to work in a manner that has a degree of protection or certainly can add to the income on a variable basis. You know, and I think that's a critical thing. Warren Buffett, you know, has always said, if you read any of his books, has typically said, you know, you take 100, subtract your age. So if your age is 65, let's say, that leaves 35% of your assets could be above ground, in essence. 65 should be below ground.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that 65% has to be in a savings account below ground or something like that. There are other tools that people can use that actually make it much more responsible for retirement and for income. But the fact of the matter is, you got to put it somewhere you don't lose the majority of it. You don't have to worry about it. And there are certain things that we can talk about where people can put those monies.
Because that's really what the main thing you want to, I mean, yeah, everybody likes to, you know, grow their wealth, so to speak, and, you know, we certainly want to do that. But, boy, also protecting it and just being on that defensive end is pretty good, too, isn't it?
Well, protecting, diversifying, yeah, protecting that those assets are important. Because, again, if you don't protect anything, then you have to be willing to ride out the storms depending on where your money is invested. You know, in 2000 to 2002, the stock markets and bond markets, but principally the stock markets, went down probably around 35%. And it took until 2008 to get back even. So that was 7.5 years approximately. And then in 2008, the markets really fell down quickly. And it took another 5 years to break even. So that's 12 years. You're 65 years old. Are you going to wait 12 years until you're 77 just to break even? Forget about taking any money out for income.
Sure.
It isn't going to work. It isn't going to work. So we have to be aware of the fact that when we build any kind of financial house, the first thing we have to look at is, what are we building that financial house on? Are we going to just build it on the top of the ground? Of course not, because that won't work. Are we going to build it on a footing like people in eastern New Jersey do, or southern Florida and Louisiana and Mississippi, so that when the storms come, the damn houses fall over?
Right.
You know, I don't think so, or maybe.
Sure.
Or are we going to build it on a foundation like they do in the Northeast and other places, where that's a big foundation, and those assets or those materials or instruments that they have in the foundation, they're not going to go away. They're not going to get destroyed. Above ground, they could get hurt, of course.
Right.
So the first thing we do is we look at what's in the foundation. What do you have? And quite honestly, people can have whatever they want. Some people, for example, say, well, David, my monthly expenses are running about $4,000 a month, okay? So, and I want to make sure that my income coming in covers those expenses, 100%,
mm-hmm.
All right? Well, now I know what to look at, what to do, what we can investigate to do exactly that. Then we factor in inflation and say, okay, this $4,000 in 15 years, we might need 7,500. So we have to factor in inflation, and we have to know, to some degree, that that's going to be there 15 years down the road. We know that that chunk is going to grow to counter inflation, or at least part of inflation, you know, at 3%. And we have to look at that. All right. Now, if we're going to do that, what are the alternatives? What options do we have that will protect that $4,000 a month of income that we need protected and grow at some rate of return to help counter not only inflation, but taxation?
Right.
So what are those things that we look at? Well, as I said before, you know, we could look at Social Security, but, you know, 3% growth a year, probably not going to happen. But it's something, and that Social Security check isn't going away. So let's assume they wanted $4,000 of income, and they've got $2,500 in Social Security coming in. So now all they need is $1,500 of some form of guaranteed income in their mind, because they wanted 100% of these expenses covered. Other people may only want 50% because they feel comfortable with their other assets. It's not important, the percent. What's important is that the client knows, the person knows, that what he needs, he has today, and he has it guaranteed to some respect downstream.
Right.
And what can do that? Well, there's not many things that are out there that guarantee anything like that. You can go to the bank, but that isn't going to work. Right?
Absolutely.
You can have Social Security. You could be lucky enough to have a pension. You know, some of our clients have para pensions, and they get a little cost of living increase. But, of course, it's been under attack for several years, para, and they've been reducing things and so forth. But other pensions that we see are monies that are frozen. In other words, they're going to get $1,500 a month, no cost of living increase. So their purchasing power on that amount is going to automatically go down each year by inflation. So we have to consider that. Where else can we go for guaranteed income? Well, we can go and buy a guaranteed government bond. We can go and buy a guaranteed municipal bond that's insured. But when you look at the interest rates, they're not very much. They don't throw off very much income, but at least it's guaranteed. It's there, and the chances of losing it are very, very small, of course. We can go to an insurance company. Now, I hate to mention insurance companies, but because we all have opinions, you know.
Right.
I have pros and cons on insurance companies, you know. But the fact of the matter is they have some tools that can work if you're looking for those solutions. So, for example, I've seen where people will go and they'll look at an annuity. Well, first of all, people have a lot of misconceptions or their own opinions on annuities because they've read these books and read the advertisements, and all the negatives sell and the positives don't. But the fact of the matter is they can go to an insurance company for an annuity. And if you look up the definition of an annuity, all annuity means is a guaranteed payment for life. You don't have to have it.
Right.
But that's what it really means. And so people can go there and say, well, gee, Mr. Insurance Company, maybe there's another institution where I can get an annuity from. Well, there isn't. The only institution that can issue guaranteed income or annuities are insurance companies, which is why a lot of the employers, when someone retires, and they say they have a defined benefit pension plan that's going to guarantee them $1,000 a month forever, they go, the employer goes to the insurance company, gives them a chunk of money that's guaranteed for life, and that employee gets it. You know, and that's an annuity. That's a guaranteed payment. So we look at insurance companies and we look at annuities and say, well, do I need an annuity? What type of an annuity? You know, what's interesting when people come in and if they have some annuities or an annuity, I'll always ask them, why did you get it? Most of them don't know.
Right.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it sure is.
And many of them have the wrong annuity for what they think they got, which is another problem. But the fact of the matter is if you want a guaranteed annuity, if you want guaranteed income, rather, you can look at an insurance company and find some sort of guaranteed annuity that can also rise each year for income purposes to help counter inflation and taxation if you want it. And again, we've got Social Security, we've got banks, we've got guaranteed government bonds, we've got guaranteed municipal bonds that are insured, we got annuities. Okay, very limited sources that can provide guaranteed income. Mm-hmm. Very few.
Right. You're listening to The Educated Investor. David Cishan is our guest. Once again, it's brought to you by the Cishan Financial, and they're with the Householder Group. Their number, and it's always a free consult, 720-482-1917. So, Dave, when you talk about Social Security, do you meet with people most of the time that have already taken their Social Security? And if so, do you find most took it when they should, or do you find some people have made mistakes there by taking it too early?
Yeah, most of the time we see people have taken it too early, and for the wrong reason. When I ask them, once I see their whole picture, I'll ask them, why'd you activate Social Security at 62, for example? And they'll say, well, because we're afraid Social Security's not going to be here. Mm-hmm. So we better start taking it. And that's not going to happen.
Right.
Actuarially, when Social Security is put into place, the actuarial determination, we've got a lot more money in each one of our little pails in Washington than what we'll draw out over our lifetime. A lot more. And the only reason that Social Security has any kind of issues is because the politicians can't keep their hands off of it, and they put in IOUs. But the fact of the matter is they can rectify this very, very quickly, and it will become a non-issue once they want to address it with Social Security. There will have some changes for the younger people. But for us and older clients, there's no issue at all as far as making sure we have that income. So we see a lot of people that take it too soon. Hmm. Now, if you want to wait to your normal retirement date and you get full Social Security, that's a great, great way to do it. If you don't need it beforehand, I mean, there's a lot of reasons outside of just, you know, should I take it or not take it. It all depends on your health, your spouse's health, your family health picture historically, how you're feeling currently, what your cash flow is, what your needs are. You know, there's a lot of elements that go into when it takes Social Security.
Sure.
Ideally, the best time, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, and you may have even heard from some clients when you ask them, why'd you take it? Well, my brother did or my friends did.
You know, well, yeah.
They just don't know. Yeah.
There's no rhyme or reason to their selection process, and there's a lot of choices that people have with Social Security, and it's a kind of thing that's worth a quick analysis. We have tools that, you know, we plug in their information and it spits out what the alternatives are, what the advantages, you know, how much more they can get if one of the couples waits to 70, which is the maximum age, or if they both take it at normal retirement age. And it's pretty simple and easy to people to see. Again, you can't make decisions simply by numbers. It's also emotional, you know, how do you feel about things? And as we saw in the recent elections, and even during the pandemic, there are people out there that believe things that just are blatantly not true.
Right.
And they use that as their rationale for doing A, B, or C. So my job is to educate, clarify. If they still want to do these weird things, that's fine. It's their choice.
Sure. Last 3 or 4 minutes here, let's talk a little bit about, you know, a second opinion. I know you offer a free second opinion, yep. And most of us do not hesitate if we see a doctor and they say something that may be serious or whatever. We don't hesitate to go check with somebody else. But a lot of people don't tend to do that with their finances. And to me, like we've said many times on this show, you're going to find out one of two things. Either you're on a good path, and so You're going to shake hands and make new friends, or you'll find, and like you've said most time, that you don't have to redo everything. It's just maybe a few tweaks here and there. So to me, that's a win-win situation. Either find out I'm doing good or find out I need a little help and I'm still good.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and this is why when we do our seminars or when we teach our classes, people really come in after that because they've seen what we're talking about and they've seen me. People get apprehensive because of their prior experiences. There's all sorts of programs on TV, on radio, that purport to look at someone's finances in an unbiased, independent manner. And invariably, what people tell us is that all they want to do is sell us what they want to sell us. They don't look at the entire picture. Mm-hmm. They don't look at estate planning. They don't look at protection planning, income planning, tax planning, investment planning. Right? They just want, and so they get pressure to do something. They went to that free dinner meeting, and that by hell or high water, that product that they were trying to promote, they got to buy that because it's going to solve all their problems.
Right.
Well, it doesn't work like that. And so that kind of pressure presents people because they think that if they were to go somewhere, they're going to get the same treatment. That's not the case here.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to look at those objectively, and we're going to make recommendations based on what they tell us, because everything they tell us we put in writing so that they can see these different areas of financial planning based on what they've told us. And like you said, you know, in the most cases, it's just a tweak here and there they may have to do to get things back to where they're comfortable in having them be.
Absolutely. Once again, you've been listening to The Educated Investor with David C. Shawn. Their number is 720-482-1917. You can check out the website. It's cshawnfinancialservices.com. That's C-I-C-H-O-N, financialservices.com. And like we said, hey, it is a free consult for your initial consult there. And if you just want to get a second opinion and have David look over your plan, he will be happy to do that. And one thing David prides himself on, and we talk a lot about on this show, is education. And that's what this show is all about. And David says education is the great equalizer. So, David, we appreciate your time, sir, and we look forward to our visit next week.
Have yourself a great week, Scott.
All right, you as well. Again, that's David C. Shawn, cshawnfinancialservices.com, 720-482-1917.
This is Chris Kane with 303 Roofer. If you have an insurance claim on your roof and want to keep some of that money in your pocket, give us a call and we'll give you a cash bid to replace your roof. You pay insurance every month and now insurance has paid you. It's your money and we understand that. So give us a call at 303-390-1382 or visit our website, 303roofer.com.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loan to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesh. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills, and the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLC's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesh, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Trial tested. Trial ready.
Hey, let me tell you about one of my favorite stores. It's the Outdoorsman's Attic, located at 2650 West Hamden in Sheridan. Hi, this is Scott Watley, and you may ask, why is this one of my favorite stores? Well, you never know what you're going to find. But I will promise you this. You will find great service and great bargains from this family-owned store. It may be a great deal on that 12-gauge shotgun you've been looking for. Or maybe that rifle you haven't been able to find anywhere. And hey, they might even have that ammo in stock that you have been driving all over town looking for. The Outdoorsman's Attic is a consignment store for hunting, fishing, and camping gear. Now look, you've been moving that gear around your garage for months. Don't move it. Take it to the Outdoorsman's Attic and turn it into cash. Need to get that fishing license? Maybe grab some live bait? Head on over to 2650 West Hamden. And if your firearm needs a little work, ask for Scott the Gunsmith. It's the Outdoorsman's Attic, 2650 West Hamden. Tell him Scott sent you.
This is KLZ 560, your home station.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
Welcome to Your Health Matters. My name is Scott Watley, and our show is brought to you each week, as mentioned in our open there, by Integrated Health Systems, 303-781-5617. It's always great to have Lindsay Williams with us, and Lindsay is a nutritionist there. And Lindsay, I know there are several other names that you have there besides nutritionist, and I mean that in a good way, okay? But you also help with what in counseling with nutrition?
I'm also a certified athletic trainer, so I have a lot of background in orthopedics, rehabilitation, so I do a lot with that as well. And then I'm also a licensed EMT, so I have a little bit of a mix of everything, and really, to me, it just made sense that they all went together.
Boy, it sure does. It sure does. And I know you've been a very valuable asset there for Dr. Stedman, so it's good to have you with us. All right, we've been talking about detoxing a lot with all the different members there of Integrated Health Systems, and so we're going to continue with that today. So I guess we can just kind of start out with kind of defining detox and what that means, you know, especially from your side as a nutritionist.
Yeah, so detox, it's kind of a hot term. You hear it everywhere you go. I'm doing a detox. I need to detox. but what does that really mean? And really, it's us just kind of taking time to reset our bodies, maybe take some of the burden away that's being impacted on us daily. Mm-hmm. We're kind of assaulted from all directions, and there's no way that you can eliminate everything from your environment. It's sure. Just not possible. But just taking that moment to sit back and go, okay, what is impacting me? Where can I maybe make changes? This just hit me the other day, and I was in the store looking for soaps and lotions and things. They now all say paraben-free, phthalate-free, and they didn't used to say that. And so it got me thinking, you know, these are things we've used in our products for years, decades even, because it made them smell good. It gave them a longer last on the shelf, things like that. And really now they're finding parabens and phthalates disrupt hormones.
Wow.
So
okay.
Yeah. So detoxing, it can be your food. It can be lotions and potions, as I like to call them, all the stuff we use in the bathroom. It can be the chemicals we use to clean around our house. It may be from an emotional, mental health standpoint, like just looking at relationships and how they affect us. So detox can have a very generic term, but there is a very specific chemical process that happens in your body as well.
Right. So when we talk about detox, I think some people think of detox, they think of cleanse, they think maybe, are those the same process, you know, medically, or are those kind of two different things?
That's a great question, and they do get interchanged very, very often. A detox is considered a more of a long-term lifestyle change. And there is a chemical process that happens in the body from the liver down to the kidneys, what we excrete through our skin, that is us detoxing. That is a natural process that happens. A cleanse is typically more of a short-term thing that we do, a program, a protocol to get rid of those things. And normally it has to do with the digestive tract.
Mm-hmm.
But they get interchanged so much, it's hard to really separate them out sometimes.
Right. So, you know, when we look at the detox, I mean, is that then something that, you know, where we're not eating or drinking anything and giving our body a rest? Or are we drinking things? Or are we taking supplements? I mean, what is kind of the process of a detox?
So, really, I like to start with what is the person's goals? Because that will determine which path you go down. Everything that you just mentioned, whether it's eliminating something, completely staying away from something, fasting, all of those things can have a detox property to them. So it's identifying what is your goal with this? What are you trying to do? Do you have an issue that we need to work on? And because of that issue, we know from a physiological standpoint, there's a pathway that's kind of clogged up, jammed up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see the detox as you get your car and your oil changed. You change the air filters.
Right.
You clean things up so that your car runs better. Well, we can do the same thing with our bodies. Because of everything that we're bombarded with from every angle, it slows down our body's natural ability to detox. And so sometimes we may have to take supplements or change our diet or do them in combo to help that process along a little bit. So it can be a supplement. It can be a specific diet program. It may be something that you drink or don't drink for a certain period of time.
Right.
All of those things can help that process clear out some of the clogs.
Lindsay Williams is with us, and once again, our show is brought to you by Integrated Health Systems, and their number, 303-781-5617. Okay, so when people come in and maybe they're describing different symptoms, maybe they haven't thought of the word detox, or and mm-hmm. So then you say, okay, with what you're describing to me, I think that would be a good thing for you. So what are some of the things maybe on that list that you might hear from a patient where then you may recommend a detox?
Oh, good question. This list can be so vast, but
right.
Typically I have trouble losing weight. I have some brain fog, and brain fog is a fancy term, kind of a hot term for mm-hmm. just brain inflammation, and we get confused or we forget what we're doing, or maybe we're having trouble focusing. So that's brain fog. We also can hear things like maybe I'm breaking out a ton. You know, I'm an adult in my 40s. I shouldn't be having acne. Why am I? And it can sleep disruption can be the other big one that kind of jumps out as maybe it's time for a detox. Maybe I need to clean something up or help clean out my system a little bit.
Right. And, you know, I mean, to me, there's certainly no downside of doing it. And to me, it can only bring better things to your health by doing it, right?
Correct. I mean, you want it. There is an order to doing it in that, again, what are your goals? What are we trying to accomplish? Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that are crazy about detoxes and cleanses, and they do a different one every month. And I'm not saying people should go to that extreme by any stretch. Your body is designed for specific things, and for the most part can work through those processes without the extra help. But those that are having health conditions and a little bit more fragile, as I like to say, there's nothing wrong with doing detoxes and helping those pathways along and supporting them in ways to give you optimal health.
So is it a specific time frame that, you know, someone does a detox, or is just everybody different, or is there a set number of weeks or days that we do this?
No, everybody's going to be different. Again, it's back to those goals and which track did you kind of go down? Like, are you just changing up diet? Are you adding in supplements? So all of them can be done in different forms. They can be a couple days and so even lasting into weeks. And some of those are more the long-term lifestyle change detoxes mm-hmm. that we do with people. So everybody's going to be a little bit different.
So would you say, and again, I realize what you just said, everybody's different, so there's probably no set thing in stone, so to speak, but is it good for us to do this as a general rule? I mean, once a quarter, once every 6 months, once a year, or it's just, again, so individualized?
It is individualized, but I kind of like the idea of sitting down and reassessing where you're at once a quarter. You know, New Year's resolutions didn't come around because people were just making stuff up.
Sure.
I mean, they take the beginning of the year to kind of sit down, where do I want to be? What do I want to do with my health, my goals, personal, business? So you can kind of do the same thing with a detox, like once a quarter, determine, hey, how am I feeling? What's been bothering me? Where could I maybe give myself a little bit more support so that I feel my best?
Once again, Lindsay Williams is with us. She's a nutritionist there at Integrated Health Systems, 303-781-5617. So when you look at all the different foods, and I'm just thinking, you know, that once a quarter thing would seem ideal because, I mean, when you look at all the different foods that most of us eat, man, it would just seem like our body would need a break in a period of days or weeks, whatever, to kind of reset. And if we did that faithfully every quarter, man, that might just be, you know, a winning ticket just to being on top of our health, at least, and we're paying attention to it instead of just going annually.
Yes, yeah. There is some pretty cool research coming out having to do with fasting, and fasting can be a form of a detox. And you can do that from a day to some people take it weeks at a time. And this is not for everybody. But even within that quarterly assessment, what kind of detox do I want to do? Mm-hmm. And just taking the food burden away, it's amazing what that reset can do for your body. It's very much an emotional connection we have, especially here in America, to food.
No doubt.
Sometimes it's not about the burden of the food and the types of food you're eating. Sometimes it has to do with mental and emotional health that's connected to that food, because everything we do is social, is around food.
Yeah.
And so sometimes just giving ourselves that break. If you go out every weekend with friends and all you're doing is socializing and eating and drinking, that's a lot for your body to process. And sometimes just taking a weekend away can be a relief on your system.
Sure. And I know we were, Dr. Stebenall, we were doing some things on the liver recently, and just he brought up the matter of alcohol and, you know, just the damage really that can do to someone's health. So everybody just needs to keep that in mind too, right, for long-term health?
Absolutely. Moderation is key. But, I mean, your liver is designed to detox those things. Everything that we take in, ingest, food-wise, drink, things like that, your body breaks it down into chemical chains and then takes from those chains nutrients that it needs and other chemical pieces that it needs to do other processes. So we're already designed to detox naturally. That's something we hear a lot is, well, what's the point of my liver? Well, your liver is to detox. But sometimes it can get clogged up, or if you're drinking a ton, and what's a ton for me may not be a ton for you.
Sure.
Your liver may process it a little bit differently. But still, there's an important piece to moderating that and realizing when I was 20, I could drink 15 beers in a night. And now that I'm in my 40s, I don't recover the same way. It's because your liver is slowed down in its detox processes. And that burden is too much. It's going to take weeks, days longer to get all that cleaned up and cleaned out.
Right. So what have you seen, and maybe just a couple of patients that may come to mind of how they felt when they came in, and maybe you're doing some other things too with diet, but I mean, just overall from a detox, kind of what they felt like and kind of what amount of time would they feel a difference?
That's a great question. I think that's kind of one of the things that gives detox a negative connotation around it, is people are like, oh, I don't want to feel bad. And that may or may not come. It doesn't always come every time you do a detox. But some pretty relevant symptoms would be headaches, fatigue. They may have some muscle aches. But just overall, they kind of feel run down, like maybe they're coming down with something. And occasionally they break out. But that detox process, it's not forever. Usually if you're detoxing, it can be anywhere from 2 to 3 days, kind of having symptoms, and that can be mild to what some people consider severe, life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
But it only usually lasts a few days to a week. It's rare that it's going to go beyond that week-long process. And if it is, that means there's a lot that your body's processing out. And there's other things that we can do to support that process so that you don't feel so miserable. I think the big key when detoxing is you have got to drink water. Water is the body's way of flushing things through and around and out. And most of us are dehydrated to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you start trying to push a detox process or pathway and you're not giving it enough fluids to get those toxins out, they just kind of sit there and they will make you feel worse. I recently had a patient who was detoxing and she was feeling so horrible. We brought her in for just a straight saline IV because she just needed to push those toxins out. She could not and would not drink enough water to help the process along. And within 24 hours, she's like, oh my gosh, I feel completely different. So being hydrated is key when you're going through a detox.
Sure. Do you find that you have patients, because, I mean, I'm just being honest, I'm like this. I could honestly go all day and not drink water, you know? I can eat a meal, I can eat whatever. So what is it about that's such a struggle for maybe some of us? And I know other people, man, they carry around, you know, the 5-gallon Yeti thing and
right.
drinking out of it, you know, and they love drinking. But for me, I hate drinking water, but it's a must, isn't it?
It is a must. I think we're so conditioned to have flavor and sugar. I mean, sugar is mm-hmm. a big one for personally. I'm the same way. You put down a flavored drink or just water in front of me, I'm probably going to go with the flavored drink. That's been my hill to up climb a little bit because I'm kind of in the same boat. It's just not ingrained in us, in our culture, to reach for that water where it is in other countries. And then we've added so many chemicals to water. Some people are very sensitive to those tastes that they leave.
Right.
And so to them, water doesn't taste good. So, yeah, I think it's key to what am I drinking, how much am I drinking, and recognizing that some of the drinks we drink, sodas, caffeine, teas, they can actually be dehydrating depending on what is in them.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you think you're putting in fluids, you may actually be dehydrating yourself more. So it's just something to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, if you're just joining us, our show is brought to you by Integrated Health Systems. Lindsay Williams is with us, and she is a nutritionist there. Their number, 303-781-5617. So when a patient comes to you, and I don't know if they, you know, directly just want to come in for nutrition, or it usually works through one of the other docs referring them over to you, are most people trying to lose weight that come to you, or they're just deciding they want to eat healthier? What are some of the reasons that they even say, hey, look, I want to talk to Lindsay, the nutritionist?
I get a mixed bag. Most people come in because they just don't feel good, and I don't know where else to go, and I've been through all these other processes, and nothing's helped, or nothing's helped enough. So a lot of the patients I see aren't feeling well when they start this journey.
Right.
I have the random few who are like, I feel great. I'm a triathlon athlete. I'm running. I'm doing this every day. But even they'll come in and say, my energy is kind of low, or I'm having trouble recovering from workouts. And so we kind of look at it from that angle, like, are you getting enough nutrition? Are there other things that you're doing that may be inhibiting your progress in this health journey that you're on? So it can be a huge mixed bag. And some start with one thing and we kind of fix that or get them feeling better. And then they go, you know what, this other thing kind of bothers me. I want to address that now.
Right. Because, you know, we've talked about this before, just with people sleep, you know, most of us over the last 15, 16 months. I mean, it's been pretty stressful on everyone. So, you know, I don't know anybody that 2 or 3 o'clock, they're just full of pep, you know, raring to go. So, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I think we could all figure out something like, you know, how do we get more energy? And unfortunately, many people turn to the energy drinks and different things, and that's may help them for the hour or so, but then does that cause a super crash at some point?
Yeah, absolutely it does. And that's exactly, you hit the nail on the head. We all reach for the quick fixes. I'm sure people have heard Dr. Stebbins say this before. Starbucks is winning because at 3 o'clock, where is everybody? In the Starbucks line, mm-hmm. getting their caffeine, getting their sugar fix to get through the next couple hours. Because all of us are just so drained and stressed and tired from life.
Right.
We the quick fixes. And so sometimes it's pretty amazing just cleaning up your diet a little bit, cleaning up sleep habits a little bit can have a huge impact on, I don't even feel like I need that caffeine because I just naturally have enough. Because your body does actually have enough. We've just dampened it in so many different ways.
Sure.
We feel like we don't.
All right, so let's talk about maybe what just that initial consult looks like with you, you know, about how long is it, and what is kind of that, and I guess it's kind of like an interview process in the beginning, so you just get to know the patient.
Yeah, absolutely. They can come directly to me for just nutrition, or we can do a team approach with Dr. Maynard or Dr. Stebbins and I in the office. Either is fine. But the first consultation is just 30 minutes where we get to ask you questions about you and kind of where your concerns are. And then you get to ask us questions about, can you help me? What would you do? What would your approach be? And we keep it somewhat surface level because it is only 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. But then once you come on as a patient, we get into nitty gritty, whether you're seeing just me or the team. I do a really detailed health history with you, and we determine what we need to work on, where and where we want to go, and set goals together. Everything we do in this office is a team approach. It's not me dictating to you, and I handhold all the way through the process. So once we determine where we're going, you're not alone. You're not on the journey by yourself. You have access to me pretty much most of the time. Except for when I'm sleeping, and we walk through that journey because it can be a little bit scary, and sometimes it's got huge changes that come with it, and those changes can be overwhelming. So
sure.
Emotionally and mentally, how do we make that okay while you go through?
Right. And I think that's super valuable for us as a patient or client of Integrated Health Systems because of that team approach. I mean, there's so much there that you guys offer. So, you know, if one part of a, you know, man, we feel a thyroid issue is coming, a brain, a concussion is coming, the nutrition's. I mean, there's so many things that you guys are really experts on that, and we don't have to go to another doctor and try to explain everything. That is so frustrating.
it is because in the traditional medical world, they have their lane and they stay in it. And that's not always a bad thing, but it is frustrating for patients who then are sent from A to B to C and still don't get answers because no one's talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So in our office, that's what I love the most, is that we all talk, and we talk a lot. I mean, we have weekly, if not daily, meetings with each other on what's this patient doing, where are they going, what's our next step. Yeah, it's very much a team approach, and you don't have to go outside very often for more testing and more treatment.
Yep, that's great. Let's take our last couple of minutes here and talk about a section that you guys added fairly recently, and that's the IV therapy. Kind of just tell us just a little bit about that.
I'm really excited about this. This is we have a nurse practitioner that's on staff with us. She's also part of the team, and we're using IV therapies to not only, like, hydrate and assist our patients as they go through detox, but we're finding huge benefits with our brain injury patients and supporting them nutritionally. We can boost some antioxidants. We can boost some energy through vitamin B that goes directly into your vein, basically. A lot of times people say, well, I've been taking vitamin D or vitamin B for years, and I don't feel any better. Well, sometimes it may have to do with because your gastrointestinal tract's a little jacked up, and mm-hmm. so we can bypass that and still get you what you need through the IV. When we do IV therapies, it has a faster impact, a more immediate result, if you will, than going through the gastrointestinal tract.
Right.
So that's one of the cool things about our patients. For the most part, feel it and feel different pretty quickly with those large dose IVs that we can give.
Right. And what time would the patient need to set aside, you know, to come in for one of those? I mean, you've already decided what you want and you come in. Is it 30 minutes, 45 minutes, about an hour?
On average, it's going to be about an hour.
Okay.
On average. It depends on how quickly they drink up the bag, but for most people, it's about an hour.
Okay, great. Well, Lindsay, our time always goes very quickly, but thank you very, very much, and we will look forward to our next visit with you.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. That's Lindsay Williams, again, Integrated Health Systems, 303-781-5617. Just call them, mention you heard Lindsay here on the show, and she'll get you in for an appointment. We want to thank you for joining us for Your Health Matters. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation, 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Steadman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.